So without further ado, we have our candidates here for city council and, well, our de facto winner in the mayor race, Dave Kiefer. Welcome. and this is how it's going to work. Very standard fare. We've gotten the questions from community members, and Ms. Catherine Tatsuda from Tagus Federal is going to be the timer. We'll let you know how long you have for each of the questions. When you see her raise a yellow card, that means you're halfway through your time. When she raises the red card, wrap it up. Wrap it up. It's time. Yeah. Don't make her say zip it. So we'll start with an opening statement, and what we'll do is we'll start at this end of the table, work our way down, and then the second question, we'll start with the second person, which is Jana Lee. Our candidates are Jana Lee Gage, Lilette Kistler, Jay Matani, and Bronson Olson, and, of course, Mayor Dave. There are four candidates for two seats open for three-year terms, and so this is exciting. It's been really great to see how many people have stepped forward to serve our community this year, not only for city council, but also for borough assembly and the school board. So it's good to be an informed voter and make sure you get out there and vote. So the first question, we're going to give you up to 3 minutes. Don't feel like you have to use them all if you don't feel like it. Please tell us who you are and why you're interested in serving on the city council. Additionally, please tell us about any non-professional organizations in which you've served the community.
Hello, I'm Lilette Kistler, and I have been thinking about doing this for decades. I used to sit there and listen to Problem Corner while I was wrapping meat at Tatsuda's back in the early 80s. I have a lot of varied things that I've been involved with in Ketchikan. Long-term employment at Tatsuda's and State Farm. I learned about insurance and banking and securities and dealing with disgruntled people, so I figured maybe I could handle this. I've also been very involved with the First City Players and choir and band and lots of other performing dance things. I was the chair of the Performing Arts Center Committee for 5 years. That was a challenge. We did buy a building. I did have to go in front of the city council and the borough several times, so I learned how it works. I bring good business sense to the table. I've had a drywall business and my voice and piano lessons, and just good common sense, I hope. And I always wanted to help, so.
Hi, I'm Jana Lee Gage. My tied up. We'll have everybody tied up in this mic by the end of the day. I've been on the council for 6 years now. My involvement in the community was never, I never thought I'd ever actually run for office. But here I am. My objective is community. I have volunteered in multiple aspects of the community in nonprofits, from the Arts Council to KRBD to the Substance Abuse Task Force. I've worked in the social services realm for probably about 12 years, the GED program for part of that when I was up in Kotzebue. And I truly believe that everyone needs a voice at the table. And I hope that I am part of that voice for the community that needs it. I have various, positions that may not always agree with everyone, but my feeling is that I shouldn't always agree with everybody, and that if I am, then I'm not doing my job. And with that said, I'm going to pass the mic.
Sorry about that. It's been so long I've forgotten how to effectively do this. Let's go all the way around here. There we go. This will work much better.
Oh, Hello, my name is Bronson Olson, and the reason why I decided to run for city council is before I came to Ketchikan, I'm going on my 10th year here now, I was a seasonal, and I remember hearing all the stories about how wild and the economy here was before the pulp mill closed down, before regulations on logging and fishing went into place, and how vibrant and growing the community was. And I came as a seasonal, worked the summer season a couple of times, and then I stayed. And I worked downtown in one of the tourist shops down there at Tongass. And hearing how amazing things were before the economy changed to full-time tourism, which it is the natural economy of Ketchikan right now. But I would just love to see the vibrant, growing community like it was before, when there were plenty of jobs in town, plenty of wealth to go around for people, and a lot more opportunity than the limited, narrow economic options we have right now. So coming to Ketchikan and living here for the past 10 years and now running for city council, I want to give back in the sense that any ideas I have can promote a thriving community for people to have not just a seasonal life, but also a full-time life and economy and job into the winter as well.
My name is Dave Kiver. Most of you know me. I know most of you, thank goodness. And I actually haven't missed one of these forums in 19 years, so I wasn't going to miss this one. I am seeking the office of mayor, and I would appreciate your support. As I've mentioned before, being the mayor is a little different than being one of the council members or assembly members, and I did have 6 years as being the borough mayor, so I kind of know how this works. You are indeed the representative of the community. You speak for the community. You may indeed have a lot of your own opinions, but the reality is the only opinion that really matters is the opinion of the community, and it's your job to promote that. And I will also try to keep my statements fairly short because you guys want to hear from these folks because these are the ones you have to sign.
Good afternoon, people. My name is Jay Mitani. I'm a 26-year resident of Ketchikan. I own the Gold Rush downtown. The reason I want to run for city council is to serve, to do the will of the people, not to enforce ordinances or proposals to the people, but listen to them and represent them. The last 26 years, I've seen transparency and openness disappear. We need to bring back transparency. I have a business degree. Budget coming up this year is going to be very, very difficult. We'll have to deal with a lot of issues that are going to be tough, that are going to affect lives, that are going to affect jobs. I want to make sure that no jobs are cut, no livelihoods are lost, no brain drain occurs. We don't want experts and nurses and doctors to disappear. That's becoming a trend. I want to fortify the budget. I want to fortify services, the nonprofits, the tourism industry, logging and fishing need to be fortified. We need to work with our cruise ship partners to extend our docks downtown and own it ourselves so that we do not lose the economy on the other side. So we have to work with the people. We have to work with the cruise ships. We have to work with the timber industry. We've got to work with the fishing industry to make this economy vibrant. And I am up to the task. I have done it in New York City with other businesses. I serve on the KRVD board, I serve on the KBB board, and I'm also a member of a lot of committees that are doing wonderful things to enhance Ketchikan. Thank you.
Okay, we'll pass the mic back to Jana Lee. And the question is, and you'll have 2 minutes for this question,
What are your thoughts on the current cruise ship infrastructure? Can we handle more ships now with Ward Cove Group's build out?
I think that's a yin and the yang. I honestly don't want to compete. I feel that if we're going to have a good economy, we need to be working with the Ward Cove Group and not against them. Adding more ships is only going to, in my opinion, cause congestion where we're going to have visitors that won't be happy and won't want to visit. So figuring out where that middle ground is between the two, transportation, those things are the things that I'd be looking for. I know that these are things we've been talking about. Sort of got shut down with COVID. But I think there's a limit. I'm not sure where that is, but I also believe that if we want to have a really vibrant tour industry, we have to understand that if we overstock up our tourists and we make it very hard to enjoy the community, then we're going to lose people who want to visit and be able to have that. What I like to call small town feel. I know I've gone to communities where I won't go back. When I go to New York, I don't go to Times Square because it's insane. But I remember it in the 90s when it wasn't. So to me, there's a middle ground and there's a working order that has to, and a conversation. But I think working together, you know, they're there, you know, and good for them. And I think that at this point in the juncture, it should be a working relationship.
So what are your thoughts on the current cruise ship infrastructure? Can we handle more ships now with the Ward Cove Group's build-out?
So with the question of can we handle more ships with the Ward Cove build-out, so I believe we can. I believe that we can continue the same path that we were before, not necessarily increasing the current capacity, but with the Ward Cove Group and how they have the docks out there for the larger ships. And we've already seen currently with the amount of traffic that they've been bringing out there, with they're getting to the point where they're getting everything put together and developed. But for the amount of traffic that they're bringing out to downtown isn't the same as it would be having the docks downtown themselves. So I believe that, I guess it's a little confusing to say, circle around there. I do believe that we can handle the capacity. I don't necessarily think that the Ward Cove Group is going to affect downtown as much, except for having the buses that shuttle dropping off, depending on what it's going to be. But I think that having the two entities receiving ships is going to increase our economic revenue for both sides. So instead of just thinking that they're an entity that we need to fight against, like generally said, we need to work with them and work together on how many ships that we are bringing in and how many ships they're bringing in, but not necessarily less ships.
Since the question was about infrastructure, the answer is obviously at this point, yes. And what this does, and like some folks in the city, I've not been wildly, you know, angry at Ward Cove for what they're doing. When I was the borough mayor, I argued that Ward Cove made the most logical point, you know, for a cruise development. I couldn't get them interested back then, but you know, obviously they're interested now. Also, I read just this week that Saxman has plans too for smaller ships out there. And the reality is, for the industry to work and continue to work for Ketchikan, it's got to spread out. I was downtown a bunch during 2019. It was not necessarily the best experience, I think, for anyone. If we're talking about increasing numbers, and the industry is, you know, whenever it gets out of the COVID world and gets back to growing again, they're still talking about 1.5, 1.6, 1.7. You can't have 1.7 million people in downtown Ketchikan. It's just not going to work. So I think development out in Cove helps, development in Saxman helps, development throughout the entire community. That will also hopefully allow the benefits to spread more wider in the community. That's my point.
I believe we have to work with the ward group because that expands our capacity to bring visitors to Ketchikan. But we have to also address the infrastructure, the roads and bridges that bring people from Ward Grove downtown. We don't want to end up in a situation where there's an accident and it becomes national news. So we have to fix that infrastructure. We've got to pursue the state, because it's a state highway, to fix Tongass so that we can bring people in. I also believe that when we bring people in from Ward Grove, they should be spread out at two or three different locations. I also believe we can expand our tourism, as Mayor Kiefer said, that Ward Grove is a development, Saxman is a development, downtown is a development. That will spread people around, because we expected to have about 38% more next year. So COVID has been a blessing in a way, so that we have experimented how to move people. But the other thing is, we cannot lose our downtown tax dollars and our downtown economy. So we have started talking with cruise line partners. We've got to talk to them and help us build and maintain our downtown docks. Because the reality is, the smaller ships are being sold to Asia, and they are being replaced here by the Panamax ships. Our docks cannot handle Panamax ships. You saw the ovation of the seas that came here last year. It took up 2.5 docks. We've got to work with our cruise ship partners to extend our docks, maintain our docks. We have got some issues with pilings and other stuff that we need funding for. And we, at this COVID economy, don't have the funding as a city. We are $169 million in debt with our bonds. So only way to finance, to maintain these docks, is to work with our cruise line partners. Thank you.
Well, let's see, what can I say now? Yes, I think spreading out of the cruise ships is a good thing. It's not good for the city of Ketchikan, because yes, they are losing some sales tax from coming in. I was just waiting for when the city council was going to decide that they're going to annex Ward Cove. I didn't say that. I didn't say it. But yes, so we can have more ships coming in and docking in the city of Ketchikan, and that does help also, because the longer they can spend time on shore, the more dollars they will spend. And when they're lightering out from the middle of Tongass and having to catch their ship and getting back, you know, an hour early, starting, you know, an hour later, that really cuts down on their time that they can have in town. So, yeah, we have some room for a little bit of growth.
Thank you. Okay, so this next question is, as the city's recruiting for a new city manager, should the position include the management of KPU, or should that be a separate position, in your opinion, and why?
So, in my opinion, I believe that the two positions should be separate. Because when the two positions were combined, and I know that we saved $11 million, I believe it was said, when we combined the two positions, but when the positions were combined, that was when the city was smaller, KPU was smaller, and now we've grown to the size where we have the underwater fiber optic cable, we have our dam that's also giving electricity to other communities if they need, when they need it. So having an individual run the KPU portion of it and having a person who running the city part of it, I think right now it definitely needs to change, just because the two positions have grown so much from what they used to be. You need to have a person focusing on what are the benefits, what are the needs of the city, and then you need to have somebody focusing on what are the needs of the city in terms of utilities. So I definitely think that two bodies are needed for the future of Ketchikan instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
we're kidding ourselves if we think that it'll be really easy to find one person to do both jobs. It won't. That said, there has been a financial savings, no matter how much we want to grumble about whether the amount of compensation that certain managers were getting, there was a financial savings. And also, in fact, we were able to combine both the finance departments. That saved a big chunk of but there's also a process question here. I'm old enough to remember when they were divided. I remember when there was actually a KP advisory board that ran and was in usually pretty much open conflict with the city council most of the time. I remember when the city manager, the previous one, and a KP manager actually were arguing in front of the council. You don't want to go back to that. If there's any possible way to maintain a more cohesive local government, that's what we want. And certainly it's my goal to try to find an adequate replacement at this point for one manager.
I listen to the community. I listen to the people that run KPU or work at KPU. I listen to city employees. And the consensus of the community is what the community wants is two separate managers. KPU has grown to a point where it provides services with the underwater cable and others better than many bigger cities. We need a head at KPU who is an engineer, who is qualified, who knows something about telecom, who knows something about electricity. Carl Amelon, the late Carl Amelon, was a unique individual. He grew into the job. He grew into the job because it was a smaller city then. We have no time to hire a manager of the city that will run both and help let him grow into the job. We will lose the effectiveness of both entities. We cannot have that. We have to have an expert running KPU. We have to have an expert running the city to make sure that we maintain growth, we maintain our effectiveness, and that's what the community wants. We are here, we are running for city council to serve, not to impose. Thank you.
Yeah, the role of KPU has certainly changed a lot since Carl Amelon started and took over the job. I was walking the streets the other day, and I had someone upset because Carl had made so much money. That's ridiculous how much money you made. It's like, you know, you don't realize what happened when we lost our KPU manager, and he just kind of stepped in, and he did. He saved us a lot of money. But yes, finding someone of that caliber, almost impossible. And you may think you have somebody of that caliber, and then you're in a mess. So I don't think it will work. You could always keep an ear open if somebody happens to be that kind of person. We need somebody who's a problem solver, and that's what Carl was. We're stuck on an island. We have to figure things out on our own, and if we can find someone with that kind of ability, of course, figuring out who they are when they come and visit us is another story, but I think they will probably have to be two of them.
I guess I'm open to both sides. I get, even replacing Carl is going to be a difficult thing to do. There's 35 communities in the lower 48 looking for city managers. So we're competing for a manager. I also remember when the departments fought. And to be honest with you, I would prefer to keep it how it is, if that's even remotely on, that would be on my wish list, only because I don't think we need two kings. the cohesiveness of the two departments, they work well together. All the departments work cohesively. It's not this us against them. And I think that's better for not only the employees, but the community. However, I also understand that finding somebody with Carl's expertise and abilities to take on those two jobs, you know, it may come down to that, where we're going to have to look at coming up with that $11+ million that Carl saved us in order to fill a two positions, along with all of the administration pieces, HR, all of that comes into play. So we would have two HRs, we'd have two administrative assistants. I mean, everything would double when it comes to the two managers. So for me, I'm open-minded to it, but I also understand the reality of what that's going to cost.
Okay, this next question will start with Mr. Kiefer. If you are elected, what three things would you be looking for in order to put our city on firmer financial footing?
It feels like we've been talking about diversifying the economy since before I was born. It's true. I mean, Ketchikan has always had the pleasure of being pretty much a one-horse town. It's just the horses change. And I wish there was some great, wonderful pie in the sky day and say, we just bring in X. That hasn't been my experience. I think the reality is thinking smaller. Not often wonder. How does each person in this room create more jobs? What does the city have to do to help you basically be able to hire more employees? Because if each of you creates more jobs, then that helps the community more. You know, I wish there was a, you know, I could say so-and-so is gonna come in, you know, Apple's gonna be here tomorrow, we're gonna be an Amazon deal. We've seen that. We've seen bowl options. We've seen a variety of things come in. The reality is what can the community, what can the government do? I'm the government here, y'all. What can the government do to make it more possible for businesses in this community to grow? And that's really better. And how can each of us create one new employee one week? And so say that.
I agree with Mr. Kiefer. We have always been a one-horse town. However, to create more economic sustainability, first, hopefully we don't have to deal with something like COVID again. We have to work with our cruise line partners to make sure the passengers stay here longer. That adds dollars into our economy. That adds dollars into our tax base. Second, we need to start encouraging the cottage industry that's starting to prop up in Ketchikan, hydroponics, forged and found, kelp harnessing. We can also try and bring in other small cottage industries like chip makers. I mean, chips for cars and other items are in a huge shortage. Bring in small intellectual companies that will do it. Hire 8, 10, 12 people, not looking at, and make that grow. And it's not a switch. It's not going to happen overnight. People think, oh, we need diversity. And also, we also need to look into reinvigorating the fishing industry, helping Vigor, helping other companies that already exist to bolster themselves and grow the economy. Because the challenge coming this year, 2022, is huge. Our appetite of spending has grown to maintain it. We have to diversify the economy. We've got to support small cottage industry. We've got to support our cruise ship partners as well.
Yeah, I would like to see maybe our shoulder seasons get a little stronger here, just to stretch out the season. I know I've been in a business that was summer oriented, and it's very difficult to have to lay off people, or you lose your college kids and you're stuck, but to have something that's more sustainable year round, I had a fun idea about just saying, okay, what if we had a I survived the fall of Ketchikan, where we had people doing dragon deer contest or sleeping out in the woods and catching slimy fish or whatever. And I think you could have thrill seekers coming in from other places to prove
that they survived.
You know, just kind of innovative ideas that would get things going. I'd like to see some of that.
I think over the last year with the COVID, there's some interesting things that have transpired for myself. And thanks to Fiverr, I'm able to work from home and basically do remote work for a Juno office. I work for Tlingit and Haida. And we have an office here. However, we're stuck at home right now. And one of the things I think would be, and all of, I think we have all the, including the cottage programs, but we talk about remote workers. But we have a whole section of people in our community that are remote, could easily, if was given the opportunity and the ability to find those jobs, those remote jobs, that puts money into our economy. That diversifies our economics in the way that it actually builds up community members looking for work who don't want to leave town but find themselves making that choice. I would like to see, I know for a year or two, I actually was looking, and I can tell you, looking for remote work sections that aren't a scam are extremely difficult. They're not an easy thing to do, and I'm pretty savvy, so I've found a lot of scams, but no, but other than that, I think we have some really amazing things going on in our community with the maritime, the seaweed stuff, just building on that. I think giving them the ability to continue that, those are just awesome. And then the hydroponics, the gardening, all the things that have been going on this summer alone, I've really enjoyed watching, and I think that's all I've got.
So I agree with the small businesses, the cottages that have come up and are beginning to grow. But for economic diversity, I believe that we need to increase our industrial part of our economy. So Ketchikan as a whole has a lot of industrial land, and I believe that we can bring in other industries, not just for our seasonal economy, but the industrial part to hydrothermal processing. Hydrothermal processing is a procedure where you superheat water to basically break down biomass and turn it into oil or gas or some other type of product that we could then use to sell. We can sell that to down south. We can sell it to other communities. It breaks down the biomatter into its basic properties of petroleum. And something like that, changing the industry, not only our tourist industry, but our technical industry, bringing in other companies just like we have the fiber optics and everything, the underwater cable. We can bring in some type of, I guess, create a company that would use that to connect to down south entities to use that fiber optics to increase revenue stream using that technology. So we just have to diversify between our cruise ship industry and other industries that can go into the winter, things that don't need cruise ship to operate. You don't need a cruise ship to operate technology. You don't need a cruise ship to operate an industrial park of some sort. You need to think outside of our season to prolong our economy into the winter.
Okay, this specifically addresses existing businesses in Ketchikan. What do you feel are the top three pressing concerns for the business community in Ketchikan? And what do you think could be done to make the downtown corridor a more vibrant business community?
That's an interesting question. Post-COVID, we need to fortify and support all downtown businesses. I mean, the state and the federal government had issued grants and had basically supported our businesses. We need to make sure the taxes don't rise. We need to make sure that the local community is involved in supporting local businesses. I've been so fortunate over the last 2.5 years. People in this community have come out and supported me. That support needs to continue. The only way that is going to continue is we've got to make sure the jobs are fortified as well. People are continuing to work because the unemployment benefits and everything is running out. So we've got to fortify jobs, we've got to support the businesses, we've got to encourage the businesses, and we've got to keep the taxes at a sensible level.
I've been doing a lot of bookkeeping these days since I retired from State Farm, and I am a landlord. And what I noticed is the sales tax, and I know we just rehashed the sales tax a couple of years ago, but why are the lower-end renters paying the same amount of tax as the higher-end renters? It's $65 no matter how much you pay. It just makes no sense at all. If we want to maybe put real estate at a lower sales tax and just put a straight across the board percentage on that, seems like it would be a better idea. And it would really save on a lot of bookkeeping, not only for the businesses, but for the city itself. I don't know how much time they must spend figuring out, looking at all those papers and not auditing, really. They're not auditing those records on who paid, if they paid the right amount of taxes. And for a construction person, it's ridiculous trying to keep up with those tax caps. I forgot the gist of the question. downtown. Yeah, it would be nice to have some year-round businesses down there, but, you know, it's supply and demand, so seriously, what are you going to do? I don't know. It depends on the businesses. The businesses downtown can get together and make decisions about what they're doing, probably right here at the Chamber. So I think I would leave it up to the businesses to decide what they want to do with their downtown.
Again, with the COVID, there's a few things that I ran into that I noticed. One, in talking to a few of the business owners that I see on a regular basis, the independent tourist was all about town. We had an influx of people that traveled by plane, came up on their boats, I think, I don't know. But there was a few yachts in town over the last year. There was, and what I heard before the cruise ships came in was that they were doing better business with those small independent travelers than they were doing when the ships started coming back in. The community, I think, in itself was being very supportive. I heard a lot of good things. I know I go downtown all the time, and I'm one of those people that will drive from one end of town to the other just to get out. I always find it weird when people never come in from the north end at all. If I'm in New York, I'm from one end to the other. You know, and I do it here too. And just being supportive, but I think locking in some of that those independent travelers, there's a trickle effect. They stay at our hotels, they stay at our B&Bs, they stay at our local facilities. They spend more money, they eat out, they do more things, and I think we forget about them. And I think that really pushing our ferries to come back is the hard truth. I know a lot of local people that are really thankful that the Prince Rupert run is back up and running. I mean, thank God. But getting that to be more affordable, getting people back on the ferries to come visit, to island hop. I was in Washington in June. I hit Orca Island, and
and then came home. And it was enjoyable.
So working downtown, I guess I have a different, just like Jay, I have a different perspective on being downtown. The question of how we can support local businesses downtown in the summer season and how we can support local businesses downtown in the winter season are two separate things. So if you're going to think about the summer season, how we can support local businesses, it's, of course, the tourists. But the main thing would be foot traffic. Foot traffic is the biggest thing downtown that for all the businesses, having the people be able to walk downtown, not get ran over at the stop, the one stoplight there, because everybody runs the red light. Doesn't matter if it's red or yellow or green. A good topic, I think, would be to put a traffic cam there. It'd pay for itself in a month. But the foot traffic downtown is the biggest part that we can support local businesses and make it so if the stuff we widen the sidewalks, that's great. Maybe, you know, an opportunity would be to close off Mission Street so people can walk down around and be able to walk down to Main Street and not be able to have to worry about the cars between Mission and Main. In the winter season, the same thing is foot traffic. It's the local community that supports the downtown businesses. So maybe along the docks in the wintertime, we could have more restrooms. I know that they were talking about building more restrooms down there and how much money it's going to cost. But, you know, even putting a porta potty out there for people. Because I know if you have to go to the bathroom, like Tongass has a bathroom, there's a bathroom on Berth 3, but between 1 and 2 and 3, like if you need to go to the bathroom, you need to go to the bathroom. And so if there's a porta potty out there, at least that would help people who are walking along the docks in the wintertime. So a lot of it in the wintertime would be putting things and necessities on the docks to help the locals enjoy the wintertime on the docks so that they can shop downtown.
Downtown's at a crossroads, put simply. For the last 20 years, basically, we built it, they came. Now there are other options. So what does the community want to do? None of the options are particularly inexpensive. We've been talking now about uplands improvements and infrastructure improvements downtown. What started the whole ill-fated RFP process was the idea that we were facing spending $140 million to extend one of the docks. So the question for the community is, and for you, is what do you want to see downtown? I should also mention, too, my wife would think it was great that you mentioned there are 35 year-round downtown businesses. So there are things happening. And also, what kept a lot of downtown businesses, including ours, going, were locals. You know, and it doesn't have to be a huge thing. You know, the reality was, and my wife used to always say that if four or five more locals came into the bookstore every day, that would pay for this. And that's what happened during COVID, actually more than that. And I'm not going to say we did great because we didn't do great, but we survived. And the reality was people from Ketchikan stepped up. But now we're going to have to step up and think, okay, what is it we want to do for the downtown? What's it going to cost? And how do we put in things infrastructure-wise that improve the downtown for both the visitors and for those of us who live here? And the answers are not necessarily easy and they're not going to be cheap.
So each forum, we do what we call a quick hit question. And you only have 1 minute to answer this question. And the question is, without revealing your exact numeric address, what neighborhood do you live in, and what are your favorite three places to go and spend your time within the city limits?
I live in the Carlana area, and I love walking up to Carlana Lake and spending time up there. That's my favorite place. First City Players, although I don't go there much anymore, Community Chorus, things like that.
Jefferson and Madison. I'm at the crossroads. I don't hike anymore, but I've been up every trail except all the new ones, which I then enjoy everybody's pictures, but I spend time recording my radio show for Mondays, and then so I spend a lot of time with KRBD. the Arts Council, several of the community nonprofits groups when I can get away from work. And I like to go to Simply Bella's and down to Parnassus and Wander and Crazy Wolf. So that would be me.
I also live up in, it seems like we all live in that same area. I live up in the Carolina area as well. My three favorite places in town, I guess, would be Alder Park. I like to go there. I take my cats on a walk sometimes, you know. I put them on a leash. And they don't like it, but I like to get them out so they're not running the streets. It's more, I guess, it's dragging them instead of walking them. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah. The other places I like to go downtown by the softball park. So there's a park right over there. I take the cats there too. It's more like, again, dragging them. But at least they get to run around more because they like to go down a little, the ravine thing where the water would go, and they just hide down there and try to run away. But it's okay. I keep them on a long leash. And down on the docks, I really like to walk the docks and be down there. Just because when you're standing on the edge of the docks, it's kind of like you're at the edge of the world. You know, you see the glass of the ocean and the islands, and I don't know, it's pretty cool.
I live up the hill up here. If you know where I work, I live about 20 seconds from where I work. So some days it's too close. Though I grew up in the West End. I was a West End kid. Long before there were malls and all that sort of stuff. Long before Walmart. Gosh. I will say, I actually love being in the downtown area when there's no one else around. You know, walking the docks, walking the businesses. I'm kind of enjoying for the last year or so, since my son graduated, to not be spending every waking hour at the ballpark. You know, while it was pleasant, I think it was nice the other day, I was, a friend of mine said, well, I have to go out, and my kid's playing soccer, and it was pouring rain, and I thought, oh, I so miss that. Not.
I live downtown. I live about 5 minutes away from where I work. I enjoy walking docks up and down, seeing the weather change, the colors of the ocean change. I also love to walk Greek Street. I love to go to the museums. Last year, even though we had a little bit of a problem without the museums being closed due to COVID, I love to walk Greek Street and see the different things happening. And Sunday nights, I enjoy going to the Cavalry and listening to some live music. And every once in a while, I'll go have a pizza at Fat Stan's with Rosie and Jeremy over there.
Okay, so we'll move on to closing statements, and these will be 2 minutes each. Please share with us what makes you different from the other candidates running. Why you? Why now?
Why now? I no longer am confined by State Farm rules, and if you have securities, you have to get permission to do this and that and all that kind of thing. Last year, I thought was my year. I was so free last year, and then I had an emergency hysterectomy, so last year was not my year. but I have more things on my plate. I am the kind of person who needs things to do. I found out I had about a month down before people came to me and said, could you do my books? Could you help this? All right, so I got two jobs because they needed help bad, and I'm still in those jobs. But I found that I do so much better when I have more things to do. I need to worry about things. I need to fix things. I'm a fixer. That's what I like to do. I like to fix things. I like to think of new, different things that no one else has thought of. I have a lot of experience with a lot of different parts of the community, a lot of people. When I'm in a committee or something, they say, I think I got that in my, I have a lot of contact with a lot of different people in a lot of different types of businesses and
parts of the community. So I think I'm diverse in that way, and I like to be diverse.
The last 6 years, we've been working on a lot of different projects, and one of those projects was the hospital lease agreement. And one of the reasons I'd like to continue is to see that through and to fruition, whereas that it is up and running with the HAC board and running correctly, and monitor and pay attention. And also to serve those who contact me on a regular basis regarding other various issues, from homeless to the substance abuse issues to the needs of housing, low-income housing, the homeless housing needs. I think we're going to see a little more of that with our cost of housing going up 10%. We're going to have some big issue items on the agenda that I have some experience in, that I work in on a daily basis, and I truly want to be part of that narrative, and that's why I would like to continue the next another 3 years.
So why me? Why now? Well, it comes down to now, I believe, is the time that it's the perfect time. We're coming out of a pandemic. We're coming into a stage that it's almost like a reset, where we need to start thinking of new ways, new industries, new things for our community. And I think that, because I'm younger, I have other maybe radical ideas, but at the same time, I understand that things don't change overnight. You know, things take time. You know, just because I want something or I think that this might be the better deal, I know that you can't flip up, things don't change with the flip of the switch. You have to work with the way things have been to change to something more, I guess, modernized, I would say, in a way that things are progressing forward. You know, sometimes the way that things have been aren't always necessarily better for what they are going to be in the future. And for me being that person, I think that I have the ability to think outside the box, but at the same time, cooperate with things the way that things have been working.
Well, the real answer is my wife wants me out of the house on Thursday nights. She's gotten used to that. I think she likes it. No, the reality is even though we actually have accomplished quite a few things in the last 2 or 3 years in the council, we're in the middle of all those things. And I certainly, I got involved in this process a few years ago because I couldn't look at myself in the mirror when I'd sit there bitching about what everyone else was doing. And, I can't, I'm just so, we all have to step up. I see a lot of people in this room who have done things, and that's cool. But the reality is, everyone in Ketchikan has a part to play, and right now I feel like this is my part. And I'm going to finish it, and then hand off some of these younger folks who will be able to talk about it. And before I sign off, vote yes on Prop 2.
Why me, why now? This community has given me a lot. I want to give back. I have a business degree and a finance minor. The budget is coming up. We have to think outside the box to tackle the budget. I can bring some expertise to that. I have a relationship with the cruise ship community, which is a staple industry right now. I want to make sure we work with our cruise ship partners to enhance the experience, not only for the cruise ship passengers, but for locals as well, and bring a green tourism to Ketchikan. Mean making sure that all departments work cohesively. Mean making sure that as a business person, it doesn't take 6 years or 8 years to sign a lease. Expedite things quickly and move on to other projects. Making sure the city is fortified for the future generations to hand over. So I seek your support. Thank you.
And thank you you all so much for your willingness to serve the community. It's not an easy thing to step up and put your name out there. And so let's all give our candidates a round of applause.